All right, good morning, everyone. Okay, this morning I want to talk about accurate connections this morning, and we're going to go through that in just a moment. And if you remember the last time we were talking that the church, that we as Christians, we as the church must birth forth. Just as we looked at the story of Christmas and how the Virgin Mary brought forth the Christ child, the Jesus, the Son of God, when she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and that birth was a supernatural birth. And so as we receive the prophetic word this morning, as we've been hearing the word for 2017 and what God wants to do, and where does God wants the church to go and to bring forth the fulfillment or this supernatural birth, bringing forth into the Spirit, onto the earth, heaven on earth. Some of the points that we mentioned previously was, I'm just going to verbalize it, it was that we needed accurate connection, that we needed to be connected accurately with one another. And that number two, we need a precise operation. God needs to do a precise work in our hearts because He is preparing His church and is coming back for a church that's been adorned and prepared for Him. Glorious, spotless, without blame, victorious, united, a militant church. So the church must allow God to operate. The church must allow God to operate her. And that will bring forth, when the Holy Spirit will overshadow the church, it will bring forth supernatural conception. It will bring forth church unusual. It will bring forth Zion. It will bring forth the dimensions of the church in the Spirit here in our midst. So that there will be militant execution, so that the church will be ready as warriors of God, as the army of God, to execute everything that God has decreed from heaven. So as I start this morning, I just want to proclaim as the prophetic word or the theme for this year. I've just rearranged it to put it a little bit more in the context of we are doing it. Like it's a verb, it's an action, okay? So I'll put here number one is we got to hear the, maybe we all verbalize this together. One, two, three. Hear the Father's decree. Exercise dominion as sons of God. Demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit as vessels of honor. Build church unusion. Birth Zion invincible. Become kingdom unstoppable. All right, so you will see this, and you'll probably hear this, and you'll see this on your future newsletter cover, which is still coming up. But this is going to be the theme and the prophetic word, as Pastor has already declared for 2017. And so I want to continue on that sort of theme. But what I want to, the angle that I want to talk about this morning is that in order to bring forth this church unusual, in order to birth Zion, which is the spiritual state of the church, the invincible church, in order to bring forth the kingdom unstoppable, we got to have a base, which is what we call the local church. And this is what we call the house of God. So God, as when we were born again, God set us free from our sins. We were saved, right? Are you saved this morning? Washed by the blood of the Lamb? All right, and what God does, He adds each and every one of us into a local church. And in the local church, that's where we grow. That's where we learn how to connect with one another because, as we'll see, the importance of connecting well. But here we're going to talk this morning, accurate connections in the context of being added to a local church. What does it mean? All right, so the last time when I talked about accurate connections, I felt that it needed to a bit more clarity of what it actually means for accurate connection. And the first connections, which I haven't got on the slides here, is that the connection with God is going to be so essential. May God increase our intimacy, our time with Him in the Word and prayer in the name of Jesus. So that so we just declare this morning that when we talk about connection, that God will take us to a new level this morning in the name of Jesus, that we'll begin to see Him when we read the Word. The Word will become, the living Word will begin to open up. The tangibleness of His presence will be so real. The reality of the Holy Spirit will become so real, so tangible, increase. So every time we talk about connection, we're talking about we got to connect well with the God of heaven. This church must be connected with God. So if the church is the body and Jesus is the head, there's got to be connection. All right? Is that right? All right. Now, again, let me talk. Now, I'm going to talk about accurate connections, but in the context of the local church. Are you ready? I've got 7 points this morning. Are you ready? All right. Okay. As I go through this, though, I do hope this is going to be something that I've gone through and I am going through. Okay. So these are not just things that I'm taking from the Bible, but hopefully when I share this, it is something that's real, okay? But I do take the scriptures just to make sure that what I am saying here is scriptural, at least there's a reference to it. And as I share this, a lot of times what we can do is, this is not for me and this is for me. So we can pick and choose what's for me and what's not for me. Because you might say, well, I'm not in the leadership team, or I'm not doing this and I'm not in the worship team, so it doesn't apply to me. But I want to tell you this morning that what I'm sharing to you applies to all of us. Okay? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your neighbor. So don't worry. Okay? All right. All right. Number one I want to talk about this morning is number one, is to have accurate connections, to be connected accurately and to be connected well in the house, we need to know who our spiritual parents are. All right, I'll repeat that again. We've got to know who our spiritual parents are. We can all say we've got God as our Father and God is our Father. It's true, it's true. But God actually puts spiritual parents over our lives, senior pastors. You got to know who they are. When you look at the Bible, all right, now I'm taking it from the Bible. When for every Joshua, there must be a Moses. For David, there had to be a Samuel. Are you with me? For a Timothy, for a Titus, there had to be a Paul. So, And you can see it very accurately in Scripture how this pattern is very clear. You know, for Elisha, there had to be Elijah. Elisha didn't just come up out of nowhere, but there was Elijah for Elisha. So God sets spiritual parents over our lives. But as our responsibility to understand accurate connections is we got to recognize, we're going to know who they are, and we've got to recognize that it is actually given to us by God. And the example that I want to use this morning is Paul and Timothy. All right. Now, I just want to read a couple of scriptures that's on the screen here. It says, this is what it says: to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Now, as you and I know, Paul and Timothy was not related by blood, but he calls him a true son in the faith. Grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Timothy 1:8, this I charge you, son Timothy. See, there's a relationship that happens, a father-son relationship, and that's real. The scripture is so real about it. When Paul was talking to Timothy, he treated him as a son. And Timothy would treat Paul like a father, though they're not related by blood, but in the spirit, he's begotten him as a son. And you know why it's so important for us to know who our spiritual parents are? Because when we don't put that in our minds and it's not in our hearts, you know, how many of you here, I'm one of them, but, you know, I'm sure in your own spare time, you go and you've got certain speakers you like to listen to. Anybody? You got some, I don't know, audio messages you like to listen to, or maybe you follow someone's blog, some preacher here, am I the only one? No? Anybody? Okay, yeah. Good, and that's great, right? Because why? God raises up leaders all around the world to edify the body of Christ. But as I do that, I still know in my heart who my spiritual parents are. The reason why I say that is because, and it's great, I'm not saying don't listen to anybody else, all right? That's not what I'm saying. But as we do that, we know that they are instructors, teachers. They help us, they edify us, because we don't have everything. We need people who God has raised. We've got to recognize the grace that God has given them, and we receive that impartation. Are you with me? But here's what the Bible says. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. Scriptural. I want to make it very scriptural. It says this. It's on the screen, right? 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. We have many instructors. It's great. But in our hearts, in my mind, I'm very clear who are my spiritual parents. Because when you take that out, many things can happen. You see, you know, we go, for example, you know, pastors will send us to conferences and where they trust that the Lord will impart or deposit something from heaven. And we go and we receive that impartation. But if we don't keep in our hearts, if we don't know in our hearts who our spiritual parents are, and that we don't have that sort of relationship, soon what can happen is that we receive so much and we will all grow at some point and we think that we are better. We think that we have a greater dimension. So we cross that boundary of relationship and things go out of control. So I'm very clear that, you know, when I receive, I'm receiving so that I'm receiving all these dimensions from various places so that I can become stronger, so that I can be to my spiritual parents a help to build and to increase what God has started, where God has placed me. Because we have to be very clear in our hearts, in our minds, where our heart is and where God has placed us, and where is the place that God has assigned us to build and to give and to build together. And so it is essential to know who they are. It is essential to know that it is a relationship that is offered to us through God. Spiritual parents. Know who they are. Know who they are. Is that clear so far? Number two, when we talk about accurate connections, we not only know who our spiritual parents are, because we got to, okay, maybe we'll come in the future points, but we got to recognize that when God puts us under spiritual parents, it's a place where we are ready to receive the blessings that are flowing through their lives into our lives. But I'll talk a bit about that a bit more. You know, perhaps it's easier to understand when we talk about natural family. We understand that, you know, God has appointed us natural, actual, physical parents, all right? And I want you to see that, but in the light of the Spirit. Number two, recognize, all right, they recognize that they, by they, I mean spiritual parents, all right? That they are God's gift and they are appointed by God. Recognize that they are God's gift. It's God whose gift to us, to the body of Christ, to you and to me, and that they are appointed by God, not appointed by man. Paul made a very clear defense that I've not been appointed by man, but God is the one who appointed me. And in his greetings, when we read the epistles, it's very clear. I'm appointed by God, called by God, chosen by God, appointed. He put me into the ministry, all right? Though I was formerly a blasphemer and all that stuff, right? But God is the one who appoints him, puts him. Just the next slide here. I want to read Ephesians chapter 4 here. Recognize that they are God's gift. Scripture says, verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ. And therefore he says, when he ascended, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. What gifts? Now this he ascended, what does it mean? That he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself, meaning he himself, Jesus, gave, these are the gifts, right? He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the acknowledgement of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So they are a gift from God. But we don't see it like that, do we, sometimes? Let's face it real. We don't recognize that they're actually a gift from God. Now, we always ask God for things, but the least things that we'll recognize is the very gift that is given to the church so that the church will be equipped. Do you appreciate gifts? Do you love gifts? So when you have a gift, what do you say? Or when you receive a gift, what do you say? Thank you. How many times do we say thank you for this kind of gift that I'm talking about this morning? Just a thought, okay? Or maybe if you don't say it, but how thankful and grateful are we in our hearts? I think that's the thing we've got to deal with. We can say thank you, but not mean it. But I mean, how grateful are we really internally of our hearts for the gift that God gives to the church? See, if we recognize them and we see them as gifts, our attitude towards the gift that God has given us will be different. Because the thing that can happen is that familiarity can come into our lives very easily. And we don't see the call of God upon their lives, but we just see them as leaders. We just see them as pastors or you know, prophets or evangelists. We just see them as that. And familiarity is a thing that kills it. But when we recognize the gifts from God, accurate connection can take place. We know that God has appointed them for something so that we can receive. How will you and I edify unless we receive? So we got to honor them. 1 Timothy 5:17, he says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Okay, so it has to do with our attitude. Okay, now we all know that in salvation, we are all equal by God, before God. Is that, are you with me? I am, you know, someone who's preaching the word, or someone is not any better than, you know, when he receives the grace of God to be saved. Everyone is equally saved before God, right? But very clear in Scripture that God does appoint men. God does appoint authorities. So we got to understand that. It's not that I am better than you and you are better than me, but we just got to understand the spirit world. So recognize that they are God's gift and appointed by God. Why don't you verbalize this with me? Recognize that they are God's gift and appointed by God. Come on, everybody, together, ready? Recognize that they are God's gift and appointed by God. All right, number three, you with me? All right. Recognize their gifting and their spheres of authority. Recognize their gifting and their sphere of authority. As much can be said about this. Let me read the scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. And Paul writes to the church of Ephesians, and this is what he says. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the ministry of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. There is a grace that has been given to them. I want to read one verse particularly here, what Paul says. Now read this is very carefully, okay? It says this, verse 2, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me, who was it given to? Paul. Everybody say Paul. It was given to me for who? For you. So he's talking to the church of, he's talking to the church in Ephesus, right? To the Ephesian church, and he says, there's a grace that's been given to me, but for you. So the fivefold ministry, or what we're talking about, the spiritual parents or those leaders that God has appointed, they have received a grace so that we can be equipped. There's a grace, there's a gifting that's been placed in the insides of their lives so that we can come up, so that something we can receive. Because see the scriptures, it says here, so that when you read the things that I've written, those mysteries that are, mysteries are hard to understand. Are you with me? Mystery. And so he says, so that when you read it, the things that have been given to me, when I write it, when you read it, you may receive the revelation that I've received, you can receive it too. Do you see the importance of recognizing that? I'm not sure if you're catching what I'm saying here this morning. What I'm saying is that the leaders, the pastors that God has appointed in our lives, God has given them a dimension. They receive revelation, they receive understanding, so that when we hook on and connect to what they are saying, when we read what they're writing, when we listen to what they're saying with our hearts, something for us so that we can understand the things that are hard to understand, the mysteries that are hard, dark sayings. But they've been given a grace to help us in that space. I want to read from 2 Corinthians 10, 12, 18. This is Paul kind of defending himself here, but this is what he says here in verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Okay, so he's talking about other preachers or other whatever. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. A sphere which specially includes you. I think I won't read the rest of the scripture, but I want you to just take note of this verse. There are limits of sphere which God appoints. And here he's talking to them. He says, it's a sphere that includes you. You are part of that sphere that has been appointed by God. So I believe that there is a sphere of authority that God has put us under. And we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that God has placed authority over our lives. All right, so far, can we recap? Are you with me so far? Number one, we've got to know who our spiritual parents are. It's very important, essential for connection to take place. You got to know who you are. I almost feel like Dino here. I'm talking like almost like Sons of the House stuff, aren't I? If I was Dino this morning, I'd call my title Sons of the House, Accurate Connections. Just joking. But we got to know who our spiritual parents are. We got to recognize that they are gifts from God and appointed by God. We got to recognize the gifting and the sphere of authority. Number four, for accurate connection to take place, we've got to be trained and receive impartation. We've got to be trained and receive impartation so that what God has given to them, that we may receive it too. It's not that God doesn't speak to us. It's not that God doesn't work in our lives. He does. But when we're talking about the church, when we're talking about greater dimensions, we got to recognize where God is flowing, where God is releasing. We got to know those, I call quote unquote portals. You got to know where it's coming from. You just hook to it, right? So it's just like you want to charge your phone. You got to know where the power points are in your house, and you go to the power points. You just don't try and, you know, do it without trying to find it. So you just see, where are the power points? Oh, there it is. So you just hook onto the PowerPoint. You can charge. So you just got to know where God is releasing. And if you know that God is doing it through the church, then you'll get, we'll get connected. Are you saying, are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? So we got to be trained and receive impartation. What do I mean by that? Abraham, he trained his household. When he went to save Lot, he said that his household, his own people from his own household, they were trained men. Training is not, I say, a walk in the park. It's not something that, you know, when we talk about training, a lot of us think, well, I'd like to be trained, but what does it mean to be trained? If you're a sportsman, or if you're in the army, which I've not been in the army, but at least I was into sports. When you talk about training is never easy. Training is not meant to be comfortable. In training, you push your limits. You're always trying to do better. And I don't know if you've been in sports, when your coach trains you, he doesn't say, "Oh, you're feeling hot? Do you need me to ventilate you a little bit? Why don't you have a sit? Are you feeling okay? Have you eaten well?" No way. No way. If you don't, this is what they say. If you don't do this lap within this time, you're going to have to do it again, an extra one. So let's say there's we're doing a drill, all right, three times, and he says, if you mess up the timing, if you don't do it within the timing, you're going to have to do an extra one, and that extra time, you're going to meet the time. Funny story, it happened to me, and I actually ran, and it was kind of after lunch, and I threw out a big piece of chicken. Anyway. But training is not easy. You can't expect the trainer to be soft, but you got to expect that the trainer is going to do what it takes to get us better and stronger and more accurate, you know? Training is not once in a while. Training is not something that you do when you feel like it. If you're a sportsman, training is something that you would do every day. It's something that you would have to discipline yourself. It's not something or when it's convenient. It's not just, I'll be trained for 20 minutes, half an hour. You know, if you train, you train proper hours. You keep training. You can apply this to, I'm sure there's a lot of musicians here. You can understand what I'm talking about. You don't get to the level of your skills by just playing 10 minutes. Is that right? So, but training, and it's not easy. Hours of practice. So, but in the things of the Lord, we've got to be trained too. The language that God uses in the Bible, he uses languages like army, warriors, training, all these kind of things. Why? Help us understand, in the Spirit, we've got to be trained. And if we think that training is going to be soft, then we don't have a good understanding of what training is. We're making our own definition of what training is. But we have to be trained. So that why? So that we can receive an impartation. Everybody say impartation. See, what was given to Abraham. See, Abraham had a son. What was his son's name? And what was Isaac's son's name? Jacob. All right, so we're talking about fathers and sons here. Are you following the catch here? But what was given to Abraham, the same promise given to Abraham is also the same promise that was given to Isaac. The same promise that was given to Isaac also is the same promise that was given to Jacob. When God makes a covenant, he mentions the same covenant. So that the promise that the father has secured, the children, the child, or the heir, the one who will inherit, the son, they would hook up to the same thing. Which means they must receive the same thing. that Abraham received, Isaac must receive that, because in Isaac, he's going to fulfill that. Well, Isaac received it, but he said, well, hang on, in my seed. So Jacob, he's the one. And out of him, 12 tribes came forth and Israel was born. And furthermore, now we know Jesus Christ came down and now Gentiles are grafted into it. And so by faith, we are children of Abraham. You don't understand what I'm saying. This connection is so essential. Without Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, no connection, the promise doesn't flow. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is very essential that we are connected. We've got to be trained to, we've got to be receiving an impartation. I've got there on the screen, impartation is like surfing the waves. Not surfing the net, surfing the waves. Okay, I'm not talking about the internet, all right? Talking about surfing the waves. I've got a picture here of some guy, I don't know, from the internet. Just Google, you'll find it. So here you can see a big, huge waves coming, right? Right? Now, see this person surfing there. If he knows how to surf, right? All right, what happens? When that huge waves come, is he running for his life or is he coming, come at me, come at me, come at me, come and get me? Because he's ready to ride or to surf this wave. I'm not someone who surfs, but, you know, I'm just guessing, all right? But I'm pretty sure they get excited when they see that huge waves coming at them. Because why? They know they can ride it. They know they can surf it. But imagine me in the place of this guy, just going my way there, and this huge wave comes right at me. I'd be screaming my head off or my life. Something like this, right? Okay, so put back the previous picture. It's a little bit more interesting. But what I'm saying here, if we receiving an impartation is like this, like we can connect well with our pastors. We can connect well in the house, all right? And what happens is that when the wave of God comes, it takes you. You know, he's going to surf that. He's going to make a big leap to back to the the front beach, whatever area. The shore. Sorry. Thank you. Told you I'm not as someone who surfs or go to the beach. So what would happen is that there will be great speed, there will be great acceleration, and he will, with speed, he's going to ride those waves and push him forward to the shore. You know, if he tries to swim from where he's at to the shore compared to riding those waves, is there a difference? Are you with me? So when we connect well in the spirit, it's like you're riding those waves. Those waves, they look scary, but you connect well, you know how to ride them, and you reach better. You flow better. But if we don't connect well, what happens? The same wave that we could ride is the same waves that will hit us on every side and drown us, maybe. So it's how we position ourselves to receive. All right, and that's the reason why maybe sometimes we hurt ourselves, because we don't know how to surf. We're not ready to surf. But the same impartation, if received well, we're like this person who is surfing the waves. Are you ready to surf this morning? You know that scripture in Luke 16:12 when he says, you've got to be faithful with another's because then you will receive your own. I'm just quoting that. I won't go there. It says, you've got to be faithful with another man's before you can receive your own. And oftentimes, it's being faithful with the things that has been given. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of the things that I come here and I share a message, the things that I develop is based on the seeds that I've received from spiritual parents, you know, and when I receive the seed, it speaks to me, and when that speaks to me, it works itself out, and sometimes that's why you get some of the things that I share, you know, and so, but it's the, you know, sometimes it's bread, we eat it, and sometimes it's seed, we receive it, and we reproduce, or it increases or something into something, it grows into something. So we got to be faithful in another man's before we receive our own dimension. But a lot of times we're trying to have our own dimension first. We always look for what God can do inside of us. But we don't think about what God has already given to me through pastors, through leaders. And out of that, be faithful with that. Because when you're faithful with little, God will give us much. I want to show you this in the life of Joshua and Moses very quickly. Joshua would become the leader when Moses died. All right? Is that right? So Joshua didn't actually step in until Moses passed away, or God took him, right? Now, what was given to Moses? What was the command that was given to Joshua? He said, you gotta see it with your eyes, you gotta hear it, you gotta read it, you gotta speak it with your mouth, everything that God had commanded Moses, he had to do that, right? Read, speak, declare, hear, all of that, right? And the word would not depart from his mouth. But I want to show you something that Joshua not only received, because he gets connected to Moses, not only he receives a dimension, but from this dimension that he receives, God continuously working, now he takes it, now, with what Moses had, with the dimension that Moses had, now, you keep at it, you receive it, you work at it, you take it, now I want you to go in and possess the land. I want you to go in. You know what I'm saying? So Moses maybe didn't do that, all right? It's not that he didn't know about it, but here, Joshua is now given the command to do something that Moses didn't quite do as far as crossing over and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say here is that he's got to receive the dimension of Moses, because from that he's going to go to the next level and do more and continue what God had already started with Moses but didn't finish it with Moses, but started with Moses, but he raises up another, it continues to preserve the seed, raises up Joshua so that what's in Moses is now in Joshua, and Joshua can take that which is in him now and take it to the next level, so now he can receive his own because he's been faithful with what was given to him through Moses. Does that make sense? All right, good. All right, so we need to connect well if we want to go further, all right? I heard this statement recently, and I thought that was really good. It's like, if you want to do something fast, right, you do it alone. But if you want to do something that's going to last and is going to be strong, you do it, if you want to go far, you do it together. I can tell you this is really true. When I work with people who've never done equipment, and I know how it works, and I know and I like it very neat and everything, and they come in and they do this, I'm like, okay, no, let me do it. And am I going to get the job done faster? Yes, I will. But am I helping the person? No, I'm not. Okay, don't know if you're talking what I'm talking about. I thought that was really spiritual. Yeah, maybe not. Okay, number five. Okay, I think it's quite clear. We've got to be trained. We've got to receive an impartation. Is that right? Receiving an impartation. Number five. Connecting accurately in the house of God is what we're talking about this morning. Number five. Share. We've got to share the same assignment. We've got to share the same assignment. We've got to share the same assignments as our pastors. Leaders, same heart, same vision, same mind. Their vision become our vision. What is the heart of this church? What is the vision of this church, and where do you see this church go? If you ask people, what is church? What is church? There's a lot of answers. The very spiritual answer that everyone knows is the church is not a building, it is the people. You and I, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Is that true? You've heard that, right? It's true, right? But if you ask people, what is church? Many people have different views and ideas. Or where do you see the church going? Maybe you have a great big church building, get a lot of people saved and just make the church big and have a large church and a large ministry. I don't know what the thoughts are. Maybe you have a nice stage and great sound system and great food, great fellowship and great this. I mean, is there anything wrong with that? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But is that what we're aiming? Is that you ask the questions? I want to ask you this morning, what do you think, what is in the heart of this church, what's in the heart of Jesus, and what's in the heart of the leaders for this church, and where does it want to go? Because somehow if we don't have that understanding, you will find a lot of colliding waves. Because you see the church should be like this, but this is how the church is going. But because maybe you think this is what church should be like, we have very different ideas of what the functions and what the assignment of the church is. So if you want to connect well with your church, you got to know where this church is going. You got to follow the ride, take the ride, and you know. Because I'm telling you that the heart of this church is to prepare a church that will be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? Evangel Christian Fellowship and churches all around, God is raising so that they will become a strong church, a militant church, you know, that will push back the works of Satan, that will allow the kingdom of God to come on the earth, set nations free, set people free, you know, and usher in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that all the kingdoms we want to see as the church, we want to see the prophecy of Daniel come into fulfillment through the church, that the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. The dream that King Nebuchadnezzar saw and Daniel interpreted, it says, the stone cut without hand is going to strike the statue. We want to see that. We want to be the church. We want to be part of God's kingdom. That stone that God's going to use to strike the kingdom of this world. You got to know that this is where we're going. We have our eyes set on eternity, the eternal church. There's a lot more to say about this, but I'm just giving you a few points here to see. Hey, hang on. Am I aligned? What am I here for? What is the vision of this church? 2 Timothy says, therefore, I'm just going to read the scripture here. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these faithful to men who will be able to teach others. So what is in them has to be in us. What's in us needs to be, we need to find people who's going to share the same assignment, the same goal, the same mind, the same desires. Does that make sense so far? So that's why church becomes very important. Church becomes part of our lives. It's a family. It's every. I'll save that for the last point. Number six. To be connected accurately in the house of God. Number six, we got to build and co-labor and move together. We've got to build together, co-labor together, and we've got to move together. We've got to build together. We're not building our own ministry, okay? We're not in it for what we can get personally, personal gains. You know, maybe if I do this, maybe I can be part of the worship team. Or if I do this, maybe I could be made head in this area. And this. It's not in it for what we can get. We're not in it for the praise of man. But we've got to build what God is building. We've got to build with what God is building. You know, after all these points that we talked about here this morning so far, right? A lot has to do with receiving and train and impartation, all of that. What if we receive all of that and did nothing with it? What a waste. Why say I want to be trained and receive dimensions and impartation. You get sent to conferences. You come back. You receive the fire. And then why? And then do nothing about it. Isn't that a waste, do you think? Because the things that we receive from God is not just for ourselves. It is for ourselves, but we kind of think of a bigger picture. What is the heart of God? Jesus says, I'm coming back for my church. I am building my church. So what God does for us personally must not remain personal, but we got to see it in a bigger picture. It's far beyond, it's beyond me. It's beyond that I can, you know, it's beyond my own personal life. Paul called himself a prisoner of Christ. I mean, wow, just a thought of, you know, I mean, I'm, you think it, just a thought is just, wow, I mean. And that's what we're going to find, that it's essential that if we're connecting well, you can receive all the impartation, but we've got to start to build with our pastors. We've got to receive. What do we mean by building? Are we talking? We're not talking about, I don't want you to go to Darling Downs and start building walls and stuff. Okay, didn't get it, but it's okay. But what I'm talking about building is we're talking about building in the Spirit. How do we build in the Spirit? How do we build in the Spirit? How do we charge the atmosphere? You know, when everyone is, you know, like we talk about worship, for example. We talk about praying together. Talk about worship. When you talk about worship, everyone just build together. We're worshiping. Just worship the Lord. Lift up our hands together without wrath and without doubting. Because this is what God desires, that all men will raise up their holy hands unto God, praise Him, worship Him. And so you start to build. When you speak the word of God and begin to declare, like, I want to give you a clear classic example. For example, we in this church, we believe in the prophetic word, prophetic dimension, all right? And when we receive the Nile word, you know, and that's, you know, and we start to say it and declare it and speak it, we are building in the Spirit. Because Jesus says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. We are speaking life to situations. We're speaking life into the lives of people. We're speaking life into this room, into this place, into this university, into this nation, into Australia, in this whole place that God has put us in here. So we are building. But a lot of times we don't flow with that. You might think, is this it's another exercise maybe? Oh, it's just how maybe pastor likes to do it. That's her style. It's not my style. But you're going to know how to flow. You're going to know how to flow. Like, I don't know, does that make sense? So when you start to say, okay, let's pray, you've been built. We've received the impartation. Now, who's going to build? It's like almost like saying, you know, you're training a whole team of people for a big event. Like, let's say sports, for example, a basketball team. They've been training for 6 months and they've been preparing for this competition. And then when it comes to the competition, everyone just stands here and watch each other like you know, and wait, hamster, pastor says, because then, you know, it's like, we don't know how to play. We don't feel like running today. Well, you know what? Today is hot and I don't feel like playing. You'd be thinking, what have you been training for? Sounds silly, doesn't it? So it's the same when we receive the impartation. It's for us to take it and build together with our pastors because we're building what church is building in this church. But maybe sometimes that's how we feel. Like I said, I'm talking, anyway. Like, you know, sometimes it feels like when we have the mic, when we have, you know, when we share our testimony, that's where we get excited. That's where we come strong. And we want everybody to build with us. Are you with me? But when someone else has the mic, when you're not in the spotlight, when you're not leading, do you know what I'm talking about? When it's not your turn, let's put it this way, when it's not your turn, do you build together still? Or do you only wait until, brother so-and-so, brother, this is share your testimony, and then here you're on fire and you're for God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name. But then when it's not your turn, it's no different. You do to others as you expect to do unto you, right? I think I said that wrong, but you get what I'm saying. But it's more than that. It's not, we don't build only when we're given the opportunity. We are building because this is our house. Because this is where God has placed us. The connections is there. So you start to, you know, pray. You just go in, just declare, pray, worship, pray. That's it, do it. Hope I'm not boring you with this. Last one. Number 7, last one. We won't spend too much time on this, but we want to walk in covenant. I think this would be another message on itself, I think, but to give us an idea, we've got to walk in covenant. You see, there's this prayer that Jesus did in John 17 that he said that, God, I pray that they would be one. The man who you have given me, that they will be one, just as you, Father, and I. Jesus is talking to the Father and saying, just as you, Father, and I, just the way we are one, I pray that they also be one, just as we are one. Not only that they be one with us, but that they would be one, that they would be united. So the covenantal relationship that we live with God vertically should also be something that is expressed horizontally. First, vertically, then horizontally, right? But because we've been loved, because we receive that, and we're walking in covenant, it's not just with God, right? But we're walking with one another in covenant. I'll give you an example. I'm just going to give you examples here. I'm not going to go into it too much. Jonathan and David is a classic example. I'm not going to talk about them this morning. But you look at their lives and you see how they lived and how they treated one another. You start to see and get a glimpse. What is covenantal relationship about? If you're not very familiar, you can go and read it. 1 Samuel. Naomi and Ruth. I'm going to finish off by reading the scripture for that one. To walk in covenant is walking with each other because of who and what Jesus has done. The thing and the very one that unites us is Jesus. If anything unites us besides Jesus this morning, you got to think carefully. This is not what we talk about covenant. The mere fact that we're here in a church this morning is everyone agrees with that. If you're here and you're a born-again Christian, it's because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings us together. And if we want to walk in covenant, it's through Jesus. It's the life of God in the inside of us. But when we look at it, one another, when we look at one another, do we see the best in the person or do we always see the worst in the person? I think walking in covenant, you know, if someone says something bad about someone, about your brother, would you stand up for your brother? Or would you say, oh, I knew it. My thought about this person, I knew it. I was right from the beginning. The Bible is very clear, though, unless there's two or three witnesses. Let's not get into that, right? But what I'm trying to say is if you walk in covenant, you don't doubt. I mean, it's not that you become my source and I become your source. I'm not talking about that, right? Don't get me wrong. But we always have a tendency of seeing what's the worst in a person and look at that and not relate well because of this and that and this and all of that. We don't tend to give benefit of the doubt. Covenantal relationship. You stick together. You walk together. You build together. You know, when you come to a church, a local church, all right, and we always say Jesus is building his church. Now, when I talk about all these things, you might think nothing is ever going to go wrong in this church because Jesus is building it. I think it's the other way around. Because Jesus is building it, he's going to make sure he deals with each and every one of our lives. So you got to expect those things to come. Not because those things come, it's like, there must be something wrong about it. No. It's because we have so many problems that God has to deal with our problems. And we got to go through that. But the outcome of coming out of that is the beauty of the relationship. We still stick. Not because, you know, not because something, you know, maybe you got offended or maybe this happened and maybe something, whatever, you know. Sometimes we make mistakes. We say something that we shouldn't have said and we recognize it. But it's not to say that, oh, that's it. When you walk in covenant, you know, it's like your own family at home, right? You fight with your brother, you argue with your brother, you throw your pillow. I don't know what you do. I know what I did. But you do all that. But at the end of the day, you are still brothers. You don't suddenly say and walk off and say, well, you know what? You ate my biscuit yesterday and I'm so offended. You're no longer my brother. You know what I'm saying? It makes you laugh, but let's not treat the spiritual house like this. Walk in covenant. I think there's much that can be said, but I want to read this last thing here. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. And I close with this. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Wow, right? I hope that gives us a glimpse of covenantal relationship. But as a conclusion this morning, what I'm saying to you is if the church wants to go far, if the church wants to execute accurately and strong and become the church that God has intended right from Genesis, then we've got to be connected accurately. Maybe I should tell you one more thing, one last thing. Very recently in my workplace, now these are coming from non-Christians, okay? All right? In the workplace. One of the works, something was not set up, the system was not set up correctly. All right? Now, because that's the case, right? Because it's not done properly, if the client knows, it makes the company look really, really bad. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so this colleague of mine discovered, oh, we didn't do this, right? And this other senior guy was talking to him, and I don't know what they were talking exactly, but I heard the last part. This is what he said. Don't do something that's going to make our company look bad. Don't just go and send an email here and there and just do something silly. He said, you fix it, and then we'll look into it, and then we better what we missed out in the first place. It could have been a mistake, it could have been an error, all right? But I don't know why he said that. I don't know what the guy must have said to him for him to say that, but just a thought. Here is this non-Christian guy working in a secular job in the city saying something like this. Let's not, you know, put a bad name on our company, and let's not look for trouble. Just fix it, help it, improve it, make it better, and then we'll discover why it got missed, and we'll make sure it doesn't, you know, go wrong again, okay? But, you know, you don't just drop... I don't know if you know what I'm saying here. I think that was quite something. I thought, you know, sometimes when things happen, you don't... You're trying to, you know, pull it down, and, you know, and if there's a... You got stabbing here, and you just take the knife, and you go, let me help you a little bit more. You don't do that. But you still cover, you still stick to one another. It's not that maybe it was wrong, but you I don't know if you know what I'm saying. You still stick, you still stand, you still protect. You still rebuke, you still correct, you still speak the truth just as it should be. But that's what it means to walk in covenant, right? All right. So that's what I'm talking to you this morning. Accurate connections. Do you and I know who our spiritual parents are? Do we recognize that they are gifts and appointed by God? Do we recognize their giftings and the sphere of authority that God has appointed them in? Are we being trained? Are we receiving an impartation from heaven? Do we share the same assignment? Are we building? Are we collaborating? Are we moving together? And are we walking in covenant? Because I believe that when the church comes into that place more and more, and God's just going to pour out more, the church will go to the next level. And powerful things will begin to take place. And that's how we're going to see that the church is going to take heed of the Father's decree. And the church will begin to exercise dominion as sons of the living God. And the power and the demonstration of the Spirit will begin to take place, so that cities and nations can be impacted. Our families, all the families of the earth, will be blessed because of the blessing of Abraham, which is now flowing through us in the name of Jesus. So I declare this morning, in the name of Jesus, men and women are rising in this place. Men and women are connecting accurately in the house of God. In the name of Jesus, I declare and decree this morning that the new dimension of the Spirit will begin to flow in our lives, and as this begin to take place, we'll build and collaborate and begin to give our lives, lay our lives, put it there and begin to give and bless in the name of Jesus, so that the work can be built, so that there will be an impregnable work in the name of Jesus, so that the gates of hell, because Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, right now, let there be an impartation from heaven. Let there be accurate connection this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, begotten in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So I thank you right now, because we know that you're raising up a powerful church. We want to be part of this powerful church. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen, amen.